Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds throughout the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, do you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." His slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" He replied, "No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then dismissing the crowds, Jesus went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears ought to hear. Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. November is a month in which we remember on the first 2 days of the month, as well as throughout the month, all the saints and then all those who have died. But these liturgical remembrances of all saints and all souls are meant to have a moral impact on us. They're supposed to lead us to remember the ultimate realities of human life, that we will die, that we will be judged, and that we'll have one or of two ultimate destinies, either eternal loving communion with God and all his holy ones, or definitive self-exclusion from God and his saints. Today's readings are given to us so that we might face these realities with faith and maturity. In the parable of the weeds and the wheat that Jesus gives us in today's gospel, he helps us to focus on the inevitable reality and consequence of judgment and how to approach life with that in mind. He describes the judgment in the image of a harvest and says that the wheat will be gathered into the barn, but the weeds will be collected and bundled for burning. Time is shown. Our life is shown as a period of growth in the field of the world. We're either growing as wheat, meaning as children of the kingdom, becoming more and more like our Father in heaven, or as weeds, as children of the evil one, more and more like the one Jesus describes to certain of those who are plotting to kill him, as children of their father, the murderer and the liar from the beginning. There's a clear battle going on between the Son of Man, who is seeking to establish in us and through us the kingdom of his Father, and the enemy, whom Jesus names as the devil, who is trying to sabotage that work in the darkness. The outcome of the battle cannot be seen now, but will only be seen with patience and perseverance at harvest time. To understand the parable better, we need to grasp a little bit about the way wheat and weeds grew in the parable Jesus was using. It was very well known to his listeners, not so well known to us. The weed in the weeds, the technical species term for that is lolium, are indistinguishable during the early phases of growth. Even the greatest experts can't tell the difference at the beginning as they're growing. So if somebody were to try to eradicate the weeds too soon, you'd be ripping out a lot of the good wheat at the same time. But once they've grown enough so that you can easily distinguish between the two, their roots are so interconnected that if you're going to try to rip out the lolium, you're going to rip out the weeds as well. So one needs to let them grow, harvest them all, and then separate them on sifting tables, lest the good wheat be contaminated by the toxic fruit of the lolium. By this parable, then, Jesus is saying that the same prudence and patience have to be exercised with the proclamation of the kingdom. The good seed and the bad seed, the children living according to the kingdom and those living outside the kingdom, grow up side by side, sometimes under the same roof, going to the same schools, even coming to the same parishes. We can't really tell the difference between them, especially early in life. We can't judge by present appearances. We need to wait until the end when Jesus himself will judge. This is an important corrective for us today, just as it was for Jesus' contemporaries. Many still think today that when there's evil in the world, and especially when we find evil in others, that what the Lord wants us to do is go urgently and pull up all the weeds, to find all the kids of the evil one, expose and in some fashion eradicate them, lest they poison the wheat, the children of the kingdom. But Jesus, without minimizing in the least the evil being done, isn't obsessed about the growth of the weeds. He's obsessed about the growth of the wheat, about the harvest, about the good fruit. He wants to prioritize the growth of the wheat more than seeking to eliminate the weeds. There are some people who spend more time, for example, trying to out and oppose heretics than they do making converts. They obsess more about opposing malefactors than doing good. They want to purify the church of those who aren't fully faithful, rather than focusing on inspiring others by their own example of merciful fidelity. The judgment will come. But we've got to grasp that we need to wait for the judgment. If we try to be the judges today and separate the wheat from the weeds now for God, we'll end up losing some of the wheat, especially those who really are or will become wheat, who right now appear very clearly to be weeds. If the harvest were done too quickly, there would have been a time when the future Saint Paul would have been thrown into the fire. The future Saint Magdalene would have been tossed there as well. The future Saint Augustine would have been written off for all eternity. Not to mention, practically speaking, all of us. Unless one of us after Halloween really is the Blessed Virgin Mary and who's never sinned. But all of us have begun this Mass, as we begin every Mass, by confessing to God and to each other that we have greatly sinned by our own most grievous fault. If we really meant those words, there would be a time if others were acting too presumptuously that we ourselves would have been bundled up and thrown into the fire. Jesus has a patience and a prudence for us and for others. And in this jubilee of mercy, we need to be particularly grateful for that, to thank him for giving us this time, which is a time of hope, a time in which we turn to him who, though he was God, took on our human nature, who regularly takes bread and wine and transubstantiates them into his own body, blood, soul, and divinity, to do what is clearly possible for him, to take even those who are weeds and make them fruitful wheat, those who are children of the evil one, and through baptism and the life of the sacraments, make them children of the Father. That's what this time is, facing the harvest. Jesus wants us all, no matter whether we're growing more and more toward God or more and more away from God, he wants us to use this time as a time of conversion so that we might become precisely those saints who will shine eternally like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. That type of metamorphosis that Jesus describes as possible, St. Paul develops in today's first reading in his letter to the Colossians. If you go to the third chapter, St. Paul is describing two different types of vesture. The old vesture, the vesture of the old person, the vesture that was sullied due to sin, and he says you've got to take off that type of life. And then he begins today's reading saying, put on then, as God's chosen, holy, and beloved ones, put on a different type of clothing, namely the clothing of Christ and all his virtues. This is the way that we will bear abundant fruit. What's involved in that type of vesture? Heartfelt compassion, a real mercy that flows from the heart, kindness, that we're constantly seeking to treat others with goodness, humility, not pride, gentleness, that when someone is wounded, we won't break that bent reed, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other when we have grievances, just as the Lord has forgiven us. And on top of all of this clothing, this adornment, St. Paul says, put on agape, put on Christ-like sacrificial love, which binds everything together perfectly, he says. And this is the way that the peace of Christ will reign in your heart, rather than the dissension of the devil, the peace into which you were called. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Does the word of God really dwell richly in us? Will the readings from today's Mass dwell in you, producing wealth all week long, so that in all wisdom, namely the way God sees things, you can teach and you can correct each other, and so that you can do something else? You can be jubilant in the faith, not just punching in a time card, not just going through the motions, not just fulfilling your duties. But when God richly dwells in us, when Christ is reigning in our hearts, then we will be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude to God in our heart. And it'll lead to something in action. Whatever we do in word or deed, we will seek to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And to do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus means to do it in the person of Jesus, to act in a particular circumstance as Jesus himself would act. This is the type of change God wants. This is what his grace will give us. So that no matter where we find ourselves up until this point, whether we've produced abundant fruit for the faith up until now, or whether we've produced a lot of bad fruit, that we might take on Christ and begin to produce fruit worthy of all that he has sown. To make this possible, at every Mass, Jesus comes and he sows himself into us. He unites us in a holy communion with him so that entering into his divine filiation, we might truly live as children of the Father and be capable of doing all things in his holy and saving name. As we mark this month of November, which may be the last month of November we ever have, the Lord wants to remind us of our call as his beloved, chosen, and consecrated ones, to live in a holy way, in such a way that we might bear fruit that will last. And the way that we will bear that fruit is as branches attaching ourselves to the vine who comes down here on this altar to make that possible. This is our faith. This is the faith of the church. How proud we are to profess it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.